Welcome to the Bulls Show, your look at the Chicago Bulls from a fan's perspective. I'm your host, Nils, and with me is the original crew, Mitch B, live in the man cave. What's going on, fellas?
What's going on, buddy?
How you doing?
Good to see you guys.
Made it to what number?
We are celebrating episode 100.
That's unreal.
We're keeping it 100 right now. pretty proud of us. No one thought, I guess, in our wildest dreams that we'd make it this far.
I'm not sure anybody evaluated it. Anybody like, those guys aren't going to make it.
No, I've heard that. You're wrong. That's exactly what I did. If you remember when you guys started, I was like, make it to 10. Just make it to 10 or 20.
Well, somehow we made it all the way to 100, and to help us celebrate the milestone.
And help us get here, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. I thought we could have a roundtable discussion, not with just us, but someone who has supported us from the very early days of the Bulls Show. It's none other than host of the Bulls Beat and writer for Bulls Confidential, Doug Tonis. Doug, it's been a minute. Welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me. And I have to say, I liked your show pretty much right away. And I'm pretty sure you guys now have a bigger show than I do.
That's crazy talk.
Well, we just I don't think that's crazy.
I would bet you guys get more listeners each week than me. So now, you know, you'll be carrying me along. So I appreciate you having me on the show, and that's awesome. Now I get to publicize myself, so it'll be great.
Hey, well, we wouldn't be in this position without your help, without your support. So thank you. And how excited are you by the fact that the Bulls have someone on the roster named Doug?
Well, it's pretty cool because I play basketball, and so I shoot a lot of threes. And so I don't know if you remember that Taco Bell commercial that came out with Hurricane Doug. So everyone started calling me Hurricane Doug at the gym. And so now at least they can call me Dougie McBuckets. I think that's a step up from Hurricane Doug.
Yeah, it is.
When are you going to invite us out to the suburbs to play against you or play with you, really?
I've seen you guys. You're more athletic than me, so you'll never play with me. I only play with guys who are 5'7" and under or really fat and old and out of shape. So you guys are all right out.
I don't know. I'm definitely past my prime.
Speak for yourself.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, the biggest news of this past week was, of course, the unofficial but basically official trade, sending Kevin Love to the Cleveland Cavaliers in exchange for the top overall draft picks the last 2 years, Andrew Wiggins and Anthony Bennett. What I really want to start off the show with is asking you guys, you know, obviously this is the Bulls show. Let's keep it Bulls-centric. How does this Love trade impact the Bulls? We're going to start off with you, E.
I'll refer to tweets I saw from both you, Jay, and Doug, how we were the favorites for like 10 days. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. I think we were.
That was a pretty exciting 10 days.
It was.
It was good.
I mean, it was so exciting that you didn't even want to trade for Kevin Love.
Yeah, I already talked myself into the
right
team.
No, I mean, it is what it is. It's not going to be an easy path. It'll be a fight. And, I mean, it clearly works really well for the Cavs, and now we're, again, probably second favorites, although we still might win the regular season. Who knows?
It was weird being in a favorite position.
Exactly.
You know, we're Chicago. We're the second city. We're used to being underdogs. So I think this almost works out better for us. Doug, what do you think?
Well, you know, the Bulls were favorites for a while. That was when Michael Jordan was here. And I remember getting some pretty good results. So I think I'll take being the favorite, you know, given a choice. I'd like that. We haven't done so well being the non-favored team. We've actually kind of been beat up a bit. So, you know, it is what it is. You kind of knew this was going to happen when LeBron didn't mention Andrew Wiggins in his letter. You knew it was sort of predetermined. You knew once Andrew Wiggins was on the table for Kevin Love that Minnesota wasn't going to get a better offer and they were just going to work out the details. So it was pretty much something I think everyone in the world saw coming. Definitely makes it a little harder for the Bulls. But, you know, I still like the team this year. And if Derrick Rose is healthy, I'll be excited. Honestly, I think that's all we ask for after the last 3 years is just to have a healthy playoff run and at least lose and knowing that we lost instead of wondering what could have happened.
Right. Mitch, when you heard that the trade went down, what was your immediate reaction?
I don't think I was very surprised. I always thought that he was going to go to or Kevin Love was going to go to Cleveland. I never thought that the Bulls really had much of a shot when you're talking about a player as good as Andrew Wiggins plus Anthony Bennett. I don't know. I never had much hope that we were going to sign him.
Yeah. Well, right now, you know, it's fairly early. Obviously, we're still in mid-August. But I think it's fair to say that the two Eastern Conference favorites will be Cavs and Bulls, and we should expect them to square off in May during the Eastern Conference Finals. Mitch, 7-game series right now, who do you got, Cavs or Bulls, assuming that everyone's healthy?
Well, remember, I still think the Miami's going to be in it.
Yeah, that's weird to me.
I still think that this is a 3-horse race, maybe a 4-horse race.
Who's the fourth team?
He's going to say Wizards.
We haven't talked about this, I'm just guessing. Yeah, I think it's a 3-horse race, but I could see Toronto or the Wizards taking the type of steps that like Golden State did a couple years ago or Oklahoma City did 4 or 5 years ago.
Golden State is the most overrated team in the NBA. I'm so tired of this. What'd they finish, 6th last year?
I mean, they were the 3rd best team in defensive efficiency last year. They definitely
stat, bro. Like, they're still 6th best team. Like, who cares about Golden State? They went from like a non-playoff team to a bottom 4 playoff. No one, they're not making the top 4 in the Western Conference, are they? In a similar fashion, I couldn't care less about Toronto. As a NBA fan, cool. I like, they're a good team. As a Bulls fan, who cares? Like, are you really scared about them in a matchup?
Were you scared of Washington this offseason?
I was. Yeah, absolutely.
You predicted Washington to win in series?
I don't remember what I said.
I'll answer that for you. You didn't. I mean, you weren't scared of Washington. You said the exact same thing. You didn't think – I said that I thought it would be a really tough series.
No, I actually agreed with you.
No, I
remember this now.
Okay.
Or I'm creating my own memories.
I think you might be misremembering, but anyway.
You said they'd win. I said it would be a very close series of 7.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's fine. My point is this. I think Golden State definitely took a step ahead. I think the numbers support that. The record supports that.
Yeah.
Whether you think that they were an actual championship contender, that's fine.
Yeah,
it's a small
exactly.
point.
Exactly.
My point is that I could see a Toronto or a Washington stepping into the picture with Miami and Chicago. With Cleveland and Chicago. Because I'm not sure that Cleveland and Chicago are the type of dominant teams they were in 2011 when you're talking about Miami or Chicago. I think both teams are probably a step down from that level. So
let me rephrase the question then. Assuming that Cleveland and the Bulls reach the Eastern Conference Finals, who would you have in a 7-game series?
Wow, thanks for bringing it back. That was quite the tangent.
That's my role.
I don't know how we got.
I'm the point guard.
You jumped on me.
7-game series.
Me?
Yep.
This is gonna suck. I don't know.
Oh wow.
not even a single hot take.
Because here's the thing: there are too many unanswered questions. Right? The Bulls have a really big unanswered question with the offense they're going to get out of Nikolai Mirotic and Doug McDermott. We have no idea how those guys are going to produce, I don't think. Mm-hmm. And if they don't have those guys that are going to be a second and third scorer, I don't think the Bulls have much of a shot. Additionally, with Cleveland, we have no idea how that defense is going to shake out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would go with Vegas and say Cleveland probably has a little bit of better of a chance now, but I don't think that I think we have like 50% of the information that we need to make that decision.
Doug, do you have a more definitive answer?
Sure, it's Cleveland.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, if it's close, you take the team with the best player in the NBA. You know, that's just a good rule of thumb I have. If you're not sure, go with the guy who's the best team with the best player in the NBA.
Now, the funny thing about that is that the Spurs totally discredited that theory.
Yeah.
This past June.
They did. And before the series, I took the Miami Heat. So I was consistent, and that time I was wrong.
And I don't know if they discredited the theory, right? Because if you look at the last probably 25 playoff series or championship series, the best player has won.
Yeah.
So I mean,
except for the Pistons, right? Except for the Pistons.
Yeah, they're probably 2 or 3. Right.
Yeah.
But those exceptions,
the thing that didn't happen is the best player didn't play like the best player, right? What baffled my mind with the Spurs this year is the best player played like the best player on his team, and he still lost. He got clobbered, right? And Doug, we actually talk about this all the time. We're talking about this a minute before the podcast started. What we can't figure out is if this is a new trend where passing is going to become extremely valuable and now the best player is a little bit devalued, or if this is just a complete outlier where the Spurs are such a unique team that you can't really compare or expect it to ever happen again.
I don't think it's something that's going to change. I think it's an outlier, and I think the main reason it's an outlier is because you had a coach who could teach an elite defense to guys who maybe weren't great defenders. Like, if you try and look at that team and say how many really plus defenders were on that team, the list might stop at Kawhi Leonard, and maybe it would then also include Tim Duncan. At this point, I'm not sure Duncan's really a plus defender or just you know, a solid defender, though. And the rest of the team is really kind of average to minus defenders, but you still got a good team defense. And I think that really is what made the difference. You basically had a team of guys who were offensive oriented. Everyone had at least like 2 points of attack, right? Like everyone was either a good shooter, you know, a good inside player, a good passer, someone who could take someone off the dribble. Everyone had at least like 2 skills. And so everyone who got the ball could attack the Miami Heat in some way. And then really you looked at the Heat and they couldn't score and they couldn't defend. You know, everyone on that team just got old and slow. And Dwayne Wade, I think that's really the story of the Heat, was just Dwayne Wade just completely fell off a cliff. And, you know, LeBron James, yeah, he played like LeBron. I think that's a good point. You don't see the best player play like the best player frequently and lose. And that happened there. And that was really just because his cast completely let him down in that series.
Doug, and also, I think I was kind of hoping you would agree with me, Doug, but clearly I'm the outlier here. But to your point, the other thing that's constantly forgotten in these conversations is Spurs played offense like they've never played offense all year. I think they averaged 122 per 100 possessions. That would put them just so far ahead of any metric ever measured. Right?
I think the top team in the league was like at 109. 112. Oh, 112?
Yeah.
112, okay.
What's so impressive about that is Miami was not a bad defense all year either. It's not like they just hung 122 per 100 possessions on someone who was just awful defensively. I just don't think we're going to see that again. I think some teams will try and mimic that, and I don't think they'll be successful mimicking that.
It was video game basketball, really, on the offensive end by the Spurs. Doug, you pick right now the Cavs to be the favorites against the Bulls. What can the Bulls do to convince you otherwise or actually win a series against the Cavs? What would be the keys to a matchup against the Cavs?
Well, I think, like we mentioned earlier, you don't know yet what you're going to see out of Mirotić or McDermott. And so for the Bulls to beat the Cavs, I think you would need one of those two guys, and it would almost certainly have to be McDermott, because I don't see where Mirotić is really going to get a whole lot of minutes or an opportunity to make that big of an impact with, you know, 3 other tremendous big men ahead of him on the roster. But if they can get some really strong offensive contributions out of one of those guys, if one of those two guys kind of comes in and gives you, you know, a near all-star type performance offensively, and then if Pau Gasol, you know, is able to play, you know, kind of as he has recently and still kind of not fall off the cliff despite his age, then maybe the Bulls will still have a chance. And of course, you're relying on Derrick Rose to still be MVP caliber Derrick Rose. And so as I say that, you start thinking, I kind of need all these things to happen. And I'm not sure that I'd say any of them are greater than 50-50. I mean, I do think Gasol will be worse. I don't think McDermott or Mirotić in their first year will be able to deliver that type of offensive performance. And I think Derrick Rose is going to come back good, but if he stays healthy, I still think he'll probably be a notch below where he was a few years ago just from not playing. Hopefully by the playoffs, all that will be gone, but I guess maybe just after so much time, it's hard to believe.
Mitch, do you identify any distinctive advantages the Bulls have right now with their roster over Cleveland?
One of the problems that Cleveland has probably is rim protection, right?
Mm-hmm.
The defense is weak, but I think against the Bulls, against a guy like Derrick Rose, you really want to be strong at the rim. There's nobody on the roster on Cleveland that could really defend the rim. Mm-hmm. Even a guy like Anderson Varejao is a pretty solid defender, but he's never really blocked a lot of shots. And if you take a look at, you know, field goal percentage at the rim, it's poor. And mm-hmm. that goes for every defender on Cleveland, where you're talking about, you know, any guy getting big post minutes, Kevin Love or Tristan Thompson, all those guys can't defend the rim. So, I mean, the Bulls, you know,
it's going to be similar to our matchup against Miami, where we have to dominate the inside. Our interior play and almost our best offensive scenario hopefully will be a little more dynamic with guys like Dunleavy, McDermott, and Mirotić on the perimeter, but there's going to be instances where our best offensive production is just going to be throwing it up at the rim and hope for an offensive tip in.
Well, I think you're selling the Cavs defense like a little too high. I think if we just have a top like 8-9 offense, I see us beating them if they have a bad defense, which is totally possible. The thing that the Heat could do against us is smother Derrick Rose, right? Like, they don't have the athletes to do that anymore.
They can't play that scramble.
Who's going to guard Rose the first 3 quarters? Deion Waiters? Like, Kyrie Irving?
Definitely not Kyrie.
Right? Like, is LeBron going to guard him for 4 quarters? No way. So
the difference between the Heat and the Cavs are a little different, right? Because the Bulls aren't going to dominate the Cavs on the boards. That's just not going to happen. The Cavaliers have the best rebounder, maybe in the game, and a better rebounder than anybody on the Bulls by far.
Yep.
So it's just kind of a different situation.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how his numbers dip on a much better team than the Timberwolves.
Well, I don't see how being on a better team would make you a worse rebounder. Like, it's not just the amount of rebounds; it's like the percentage of rebounds that he gets.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I agree. I don't think it's a throw it up at the rim type of problem. I think it's really getting to the rim that will be a lot easier for us nowadays.
I just think that it's going to be a different situation. But I don't know. What do you think?
You know, I tend to agree with you guys that I would still pick the Cavs right now in a 7-game series, but I still like our chances. I mean, especially with what we've seen from Derrick Rose, even though it's only been a couple weeks.
Here we go.
No, this is actually... Come on. I'm not actually going to drool over Derrick Rose, but I did want to use this as an opportunity to segue into the next topic. Doug, you talked about Derrick Rose and how he's looked, and, you know, assuming his health, we should still be a title contender. The other big news from this past week was the fact that Kevin Durant suddenly doesn't want to be patriotic anymore and cites fatigue and withdrawing from Team USA.
What an asshole. Like, seriously, he's an asshole. I'll let Doug talk about it first.
So what I wanted to ask you, Doug, is how does Kevin Durant's withdrawal from Team USA impact Derrick Rose?
Well, first, I don't think there's anything wrong with Durant withdrawing.
I'm just kidding.
I don't know how much of that was in sarcasm, but
no,
it was completely in sarcasm.
I'm being serious. Listen, he doesn't have to play, but why would he like go through the camp? Like,
how he felt.
Because he just saw Paul George wreck his ear. I mean, come on, that's why he withdrew.
Because he has a $230 million contract coming from Under Armour.
So I'm actually okay with that idea, right? The idea that if he's contractually obligated on Under Armour.
I thought you were calling me an asshole for joking about
it. No. I just think that I don't understand, like, injuries, like, are going to happen. Like, the risk of injury, like, exists whether he's playing USA basketball or playing in the Drew League or playing whatever summer league. Like, why go halfway? And then, not even halfway, go more than halfway, and let's put the U.S. in a bad position where we've got to kind of bring in, like, somebody as horrible as Rudy Gay.
You want to revoke Kevin Durant's citizenship? Is that
I don't want to revoke it. I just want to, like, maybe he has to pay higher taxes. I just don't like pulling out.
You don't like flakes?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like you put the U.S. in a bad position.
Well, I don't think they were going to have, like, if Kevin Durant, you know, decided not to show up before the whole thing started, if they'd have had some brilliant backup plan that is now foiled because he pulled out late. But regardless, I understand anyone after the Paul George thing, you know, pulling out, and it's fine. I don't have a problem with any guy doing that. For Derrick Rose, you know, I'm interested to see how it'll work out, because Derrick has said basically in his Team USA that he's not going to be a guy who tries to shoot a lot. He's going to play a role of more of a pure point guard, pass the ball, play defense, not turn the ball over. And those are, like, his primary goals. And maybe without Kevin Durant, one of his primary goals will now be to score a little bit more. And, you know, as a fan of Derrick Rose, and just as a fan of the Bulls who wants to see how Derrick Rose looks, this should mean more opportunities, more chances to see Derrick Rose be Derrick Rose before November. Or October, I guess, if we want to count preseason. And so, to me, that's kind of exciting. You know, I don't know. I don't actually give a crap what Team USA does at the World Championships. So I'm only watching to see what Derrick Rose does, and now Derrick Rose will get an opportunity to do more.
So you're more excited than concerned that, you know, carrying more of the offensive load and carrying more of a Team USA burden is actually a better opportunity for D. Rose now that Durant's out of the picture.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think... What burden is he still going to really have? I mean, how many good teams are they going to go up against that there's really that much burden anyway, especially with the draw they have? And they're still, honestly, you know, as good or better teammates with him on Team USA against worse competition than he'll be playing in the NBA. So his burden should still probably be considerably less than it will be for, you know, 82 games plus playoffs when the season comes. So to me, that's not a concern.
You mentioned that you've been watching Derrick Rose pretty closely. It's really the only reason why you've been keeping an eye on Team USA. What are your thoughts so far on his performance, and what do you like? What are you concerned about? Give us your thoughts.
Please don't give us any concerns. I don't think Jason can handle it.
I don't think there's that much to be concerned about. I mean, he's looked pretty good, right? I mean, he's looked explosive. The only thing I would say so far is, you know, he's looked explosive largely going north and south. You haven't seen a lot of explosion going east and west yet, and that's kind of where the ACL would come into play. But I don't think we've seen anything that would be a concern in that sense, because I just don't think that's his game with Team USA, like he described. He's not trying to break guys down off the dribble and be the guy who creates all the havoc. You know, it just doesn't seem to be what he feels his role is on the team. So I think what we've seen so far is about what I expected to see. It's positive. He looks, you know, strong, explosive, looks like he got ripped for an action movie or something. I mean, he looks really strong. Funny how he beefed up and LeBron slimmed down. We'll see how that works out. But, you know, I think so far, so good. Yeah, there's maybe a little bit more you want to see, but it doesn't concern me that we haven't seen it given the context of how Derrick Rose plays with Team USA.
I can't wait for jacked up Derrick Rose to eat up skinny LeBron in the post next year. It's going to be fun to watch. Couple more thoughts. You know, Doug, we are nearing training camp. We're about a month and a half out. The Bulls still have a couple more spots left on the roster. I wanted to ask you.
This is where I start rolling my eyes.
I wanted to ask you, is there anyone that you see left in the free agent scrap heap that the Bulls should be targeting?
I don't really think so. And the reason I don't think so is because they have so much depth as it is. I don't see anyone they could bring in that would improve the roster relative to what they have. So I think whoever they bring in will probably be someone in the veteran leader type role, like your Brian Scalabrine, your Nazi Muhammad, you know, someone who's basically not expected to play a whole lot and is just going to be a guy who can help run practices, can help things, you know, move slower, basically getting another kind of assistant type coach just shoved into the final minimum salary spot. I think that's what they'll do, just given the strength of the roster. Sean Marion would be the one guy rumored possibly to go to Cleveland that I would hope they could grab if he was available. Ray Allen would also be attractive if he was available, but I don't think either of those guys are coming here. And so, you know, given that, I don't think really they don't have development minutes. They don't have minutes to offer anyone. So I don't think it's an attractive enough situation to attract anyone. I would really, if I was going to try and improve the roster more, be looking to try and do a trade to package a couple guys and get back a better guy rather than thinking you're going to get anything out of the minimum salary dude who's going to sign for the 13th spot.
You know, while a minimum salary is probably not attractive to guys like Sean Marion and Ray Allen, I think that Chicago is still a free agent destination, given that it puts them immediately in the title conversation. And I actually disagree that guys like Sean Marion and Ray Allen could have a significant impact on the team, especially on our roster where our wing rotation isn't the strongest. Mitch, do you agree?
I think it's too deep already. Mm-hmm. Honestly, like, well, we have four wings. My problem with that is, you know, who's going to be the one sitting? Mike Dunleavy? At that point, just like, let's trade him. I think.
Doug, you were saying?
I was just going to say, I mean, I generally agree with you. By not attractive, I meant I don't think someone like Sean Marion or Ray Allen will look at the Bulls and say, there's really a good opportunity for me to get minutes and contribute here.
Yeah.
So if I'm either of those guys, I look at Cleveland, who also is offering the same salary, and I say, this team's not as deep. They probably have a better chance to win, and there's more of a role for me on this team. And that's why I think the Bulls are a little less attractive. It's because they don't have the minutes to give a guy relative to Cleveland, who probably has more minutes and better opportunity.
But Sean Marion has a house in the area, just like Kirk Heinrich.
Well, it's all good then. I think LeBron had a house here once as well. I think every free agent has a house in Chicago. It just must be an awesome place to own a house if you're a free agent.
And I do hope that the Ray Allen Tom Thibodeau connection does, you know, manifest a bit if Ray Allen is still considering playing. But you know, I have to agree, I don't like our chances compared to the Cavs. Before we let you go, Doug, last question. I'm actually going to give this to the entire group here. Give us some predictions. How does the Bulls season end? We'll start with you, Mitch.
Well, I had trouble figuring out whether they would beat.
Can you give me another I don't know answer?
I think it's pretty safe to say that they'll probably end up in the I mean, like I said, it's a three-horse race for the Eastern Conference Finals. So I think there's a better-than-not chance that they end up in the Eastern Conference Finals.
E?
I would be insanely disappointed if we weren't in the conference Eastern Conference Finals.
So at minimum, you're going to Eastern Conference Finals?
I would be happy with a finals appearance. I would be disappointed with anything other than the Eastern. Like, if we don't get to the Eastern Conference Finals, like, just what the hell, you know?
Hey, I'm not playing for fourth place. I'll see you guys at Grant Park in June 2015.
So we've been doing this podcast for like 3 years now. Is this the third preseason that
we're approaching? How many times have you?
I'm going to
be right one of these years.
Yeah,
Doug, what's your prediction? How does the Bulls 2014-2015 campaign end?
I guess I don't have anything interesting to add there that hasn't been said. Eastern Conference Finals is where I would predict. I'll go one more specific and say they lose in Game 6 in the Eastern Conference Finals. And that Game 6 is in Cleveland because Tom Thibodeau has led the Bulls to the best record in the Eastern Conference. Somehow the Cavs will still be the favorite when they actually match up.
Yeah, I wanted to point out earlier that, you know, the one advantage we should have against the Cavs is the fact that we have a seasoned veteran coach versus a rookie coach in David Blatt over in Cleveland. But I also expected Tom Thibodeau to basically embarrass Randy Whitman this past first round in the playoff series against the Wizards. So I don't know how much we can rely on Tibbs in having a distinct coaching advantage.
I think it's hard to say with that scenario only because the Bulls had so little to work with. You know, like the team was so shallow that there weren't a lot of adjustments to be made. But then the one counterpoint to that is that Carlos Boozer continued to play 24 minutes and Taj Gibson wasn't playing around 40. You know, I mean, he was the best player in the series. Yep. You needed to find him a way to get him more minutes. And Thibodeau refused to go away from playing Boozer that first 12 in each quarter. And I think that was a huge mistake.
Well, Doug, we appreciate you coming on. Like we said at the beginning, you know, you supported the show during its very early stages when we didn't really know if we were going to make it. So we thank you for that. You know, you basically paved the way for this show. And, you know, for me, I know that the Bulls Beat was my very first Bulls podcast that I listened to. So, you know, we just wanted to recognize you and make sure that, you know, you were involved in, I guess, this 100th episode celebration. So thank you again.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. I'm very honored to have done the show with you guys and continued success. You guys have really been awesome. And a lot of people have made new podcasts, and I'm always skeptical whether they'll make it, but you guys have really been tremendous. And, you know, hope I'll get to talk to you on episode number 200.
Sounds good. Enjoy the rest of your summer, Doug.
You too.
All right. That's Doug Tonis of Bulls Confidential. Follow him at Doug Tonis and make sure you subscribe to his podcast, The Bulls Beat. Next, we are going to run the fast break. For those who have listened to the show before, these are a series of hard-hitting questions, but we're going to put a little spin on it. As opposed to doing news and notes from around the league, this is going to be more of a retrospective, given that this is the 100th episode. Give us a moment to reflect on the milestone and making it this far. But before we do, I wanted to announce the ticket giveaway that I've been hyping up the last couple episodes. I'm giving away 200 level tickets to an upcoming Bulls game early to late October that you can win. And simply all you need to do is, one, what you're doing now, listen to this podcast. Two, I'm going to tweet something out on Wednesday. What is Wednesday? August 13th. I'll tweet something out at 7 p.m. All you got to do is retweet it. You retweet it, you're going to enter yourself into a random drawing and have a chance at winning these 200 level tickets, where you can see hopefully Derrick Rose and the rest of the Chicago Bulls roster in action at the United Center.
Am I eligible to win?
You are not. Again, we've talked about this before.
What about me?
You are not. Neither are you.
I really didn't want to steal your humor.
It's racist.
Yeah.
But of course, the reason why we're doing this is because it's a sign of gratitude to all the listeners and followers who have helped make this show what it is. I mean, granted, you know, you guys have done most of the work.
I still think I should be eligible to win.
No, I'm sorry. You know what? Again, maybe, just maybe, if there's like a Sixers game down the road that I can't sell, I'll give it to you guys.
All right, sounds good.
Oh, I appreciate right? it.
Don't quote me on that. Now it's on the
now, yeah.
Now it's forever. But no, again, thank you to all the listeners. Thank you to all the followers. And, you know, hopefully this is a small token of our appreciation for getting us to episode 100. So, as I was saying, fast break. You guys ready?
Do it.
Is this going to be like, so we played ball like a week ago.
Yeah.
You guys had the worst fast 2-on-1 fast break I think I've ever seen.
And do you want to describe it?
Yeah, sure. I think Mitch caught the outlet pass. So it was immediate 2-on-1 thing. Gave it to you, Nils. You ended up passing to nobody and shooting a fadeaway jumper over nobody from about 15 feet missing.
That's inaccurate.
So it wasn't my fault. No, that's all I got out of that.
Literally, the minute you caught it, I actually thought like, oh, I can't wait to talk about this on the podcast because it was a, you know, Nils and Mitch 2-on-1 fast break. And the minute that thought went through my head, I knew that you guys were going to botch it.
Here's the problem.
You guys, again, you said you guys, plural. From the description, I didn't botch anything.
Listen.
I run fast breaks very efficiently.
The problem.
Have you ever in your entire life botched a fast break?
Yeah, I mean,
I was actually expecting you to say no.
I mean, I've probably run like 20,000.
Okay.
I'm sure that they're like 6 or 7 that I messed up.
Here's the problem. First of all,
but none in the last 5 years.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, okay.
It was a 2-on-1 fast break. You're correct. That was accurate. I faked the pass to Mitch and went in for a layup. First of all, the fake out was nice.
Okay.
That was nice. The problem was I was shooting within 2 feet of the basket.
No, you.
And my field goal percentage. Outside of the paint, behind the arc versus inside the paint, is much better.
You
so
got a James Jones like shot chart.
So it would have been much more productive and much more successful, I should say, if I had just pulled up for the three.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's get into the fast break, fellas, because I think this is going to be a fun segment. What I want to do, like I said, is just reflect back. And the first question I have for you guys is: give me your favorite moment. Give me your favorite moment of the Bulls show. This could be an episode. This could be an incident. What's been the favorite part these last 100 episodes?
Well, my favorite episode was the Joe Alexander interview. I thought that was really...
That wasn't even one that you were on.
It wasn't. It was the first one I wasn't on, but I thought it was really cool to hear him talk about like the difference between Del Negro and Skiles. Like, I thought it was a very like insightful interview. I thought it was
I was hoping that it was going to open the floodgates to getting more current or former basketball players on the show. That didn't exactly pan out. We're still working on that. But shout out to Joe.
Yeah, I thought it was a really cool interview. So that was my favorite moment of the Bulls show.
E?
I think my favorite episode was after we won game one against the Heat. And we actually had to meet me.
This
and
is game one of the 2012 Eastern Conference semifinals. When Nate Robinson basically carried us to victory in Miami.
Yep. And I spent the entire podcast. So we drove over to Mitch's that night. Mitch was on vacation, so we just had to use the setup. I spent the entire podcast raving on how we consistently beat the Miami Heat. And I totally, like, it was one of my few moments of complete delusional, like, instability where you were calming me down.
Yeah, that doesn't happen often.
No.
No, you know what?
I watched that game in a Puerto Rican, I was in Puerto Rico, a Puerto Rican dance club.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You're doing a little Victor Cruz salsa dancing?
I couldn't find anybody that would show the game. And this, like, we were going from bar to bar.
Yeah.
Like, it was me and a buddy who's also, you know, obviously a big Bulls fan. And we were going from bar to bar. We had ditched our girlfriends/wives. They were out doing something in Puerto Rico. We were trying to find the game, and we couldn't find it anywhere. We actually found it in a Puerto Rican dance club in Puerto Rico. It was awesome.
That might go down as the highlight, the highest point of the Bulls' success since this podcast.
Yeah, we've had a lot of pain otherwise.
Yeah, and I think that's partly driven the success of this show, because what will we talk about if the Bulls were just winning all the time?
Us winning all the time.
You know what my favorite part or my favorite moment of this podcast actually was before this podcast even started? The inception.
Shout out to Mizuki, man.
Flying back from games 3 and 4 in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
We took a trip out to catch the Bulls at the Wells Fargo Center for the 2011 playoffs. Of course, that trip almost never happened because someone over here went radio silent after D. Rose tore his ACL, and despite the trip being planned for weeks, nearly canceled on us because he was too depressed to make it out to Philadelphia.
I had a reason to be depressed.
Luckily,
our best player still hasn't come back.
Luckily,
3 years later,
100 episodes later.
Luckily, you came to your senses. We, despite losing both games in Philadelphia, we had a pretty good time.
We did.
You had a shared sampler appetizer twice at a local Philadelphia
bar. That's friendship right there.
And,
that's true friendship.
And I remember distinctly flying back from Philadelphia back to Chicago, where we were sitting there, and I think it was you, Mitch, who said, you know what? I want to start a Bulls podcast. Let's start a Bulls podcast, and next week let's record, let's jot down some ideas. And who would have thought that, you know, 2 years later, here we are. And Derrick Rose has only played 10 games since.
Yeah.
We're still a softy. We didn't name it after Tony Kukoc, but it's either here nor there.
Give me your favorite Bulls show blooper. Or something that you regret. Maybe something that you regret saying.
No. On the podcast. I got one. I think my favorite blooper was getting asked by Mitch what the URL of our website was.
And this was like this was only like 2 or 3 months ago.
Yeah.
Maybe even less then, where the Bull Show was an established entity.
Yeah.
We had actually a website. Shout out to you, E, for designing it, even though we only post podcasts on it now and I've stopped writing.
Yeah.
And you asked not too long ago, what was the address to the website? A website that I shout out at the end of every episode.
You acted like I didn't know that. I didn't know if it was The Bull Show or Bull Show.
You know what's funny?
So,
you know what's really funny? If you go to either one, it'll redirect to the same exact site.
That should have been your answer. That seems like a fairly quick and easy answer.
I'll give you my favorite blooper. It would be our very first Agri Sam interview. Shout out to Agri, who's one of the nicest guests and such an easy dude to talk to. Mitch, you were struggling that morning. Do you remember that?
I did. I was.
You got it in the night before. And I don't know if the interview – I'm surprised that the interview actually happened given the condition that you were in, literally lying on the ground in the dark trying to interview Agri.
Not trying, did it.
I'm proud of you for the perseverance. I'm proud of you for not vomiting all over the place mid-interview. And I'm proud that the interview went down. So good job. Good job, good effort. Do you got something, a blooper or anything that you're not exactly proud of? Or if you just wanted to fire your shots at E or myself.
No, I don't think I've made any mistakes in this podcast. Next question.
So basically, you're 100% from the field.
Yes, and I stand by my comments. Kevin Durant's a dick.
Yeah, that's disappointing because I'm going to be at the World Basketball Festival this week as well as at the Team USA game at the United Center. Was hoping to catch Durant, and that's not happening.
Yeah, because he's a dick. So move right along.
All right, we'll wrap things up with this. I mentioned this before. I think this is a good transition from, you know, the blooper reel. Predict how many games Derrick Rose will play in our next 100 episodes. Because as I said, since the Bull Show has been in existence, Derrick Rose has only played 10 regular season games. How many is he playing these next 100 episodes? Assuming we even get that far.
Yeah. So next 100 episodes, at the pace that we're on, it'll be another 2 years. So we'll be summer of 2016.
Is that when Anthony Davis becomes a free agent?
No,
that's when Kevin Durant becomes
Kevin
a free
Durant.
Agent.
So we can who start we just, the, you know, who hopefully plan. His people aren't listening to this podcast. Hopefully they're not doing preliminary research on Chicago fandom.
Sorry, Durant, we don't want you.
Yeah.
I'm sure they know he's a dick.
Yeah, I'm just going to say all of them. What's 82 times 2? 164? Like, there's no way Tibbs sits them anyway. So, like.
Yeah, well, then you have to add playoff games and finals games.
So. All right, so I'll.
A full 200.
You have to win 15 to win a championship?
Yeah.
Right? Do 16.
Math. Do that quick math.
So, if we sweep the playoffs, yeah, it'll be 192, I think. We'll say 200 plus.
Okay. Mitch?
Honestly, I think it'll be in the 180s.
That's pretty optimistic. Mitch, how?
Less than that. Much less than that.
So where do you guys see this podcast going in the next 100 episodes? Last question.
I think we need to rename it to like...
The Tony Kukoc Report? Will that make you a little happier, man?
Yeah, that would.
I think there are some fun directions that we can go with this, actually.
Yeah.
And I'm really
like we've had this conversation like every few episodes and nothing.
I think every like few weeks I send an email of like something crazy we can do, and you guys completely ignore it, and then we record again. But I really do think that the opportunities are there, and I'm pretty excited.
I'm just looking forward to the episode that we record after the Bulls win the championship. Because I expect us to be completely bombed.
Oh.
And I expect it to just be a bunch of giggling. All right. Well, I think that'll do it. Before we go, just again, thank you to all the listeners, all the followers. Thank you to all our guests, obviously, including Doug Tonis from earlier today, as well as all the beat reporters that have taken times out of their busy schedule to join us.
I want to take a special moment and thank all 63 of my Twitter followers.
I'm glad that they're paying attention. They stay woke. And you know, again, appreciate all the support, and we look forward to sharing our thoughts and somewhat insight and analysis on the next 100 episodes. So thank you again. For E, for Mitch, I'm Nils. Make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes. Make sure you follow us at Bull Show E, at Mitch Don't Lie, at The Bull Show. Thanks to all our affiliate partner sites, Go Wear Hip Hop.
Shout out, Tim.
Bloggable.com, BullsPodcasters.com. I'm going to shout out also ShyCitySports.com. They don't feature us anymore, but they also were very supportive in the very early stages of this this podcast. So thank you to all those guys. And with that, we'll see you guys next week. Bull Show.